Thanks be to God. Thanks to God. Let us please stand as we hear the Holy Gospel for this Holy Trinity Sunday from St. John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so much bigger than we can ever try to explain. We see this in Isaiah. We see this in Peter's message in Acts chapter 2. We see that every time we attempt to explain heavenly things, we fail miserably. Lord, help us to know the basics of who we are, what we have received in our baptism, what we have received in your Spirit. So may we walk out of here knowing that we may never be able to totally explain how awesome and amazing you are, but that people can see in our lives, in our testimony, in our words, that you are way bigger than us and what we can accomplish. As Sarah shared, Lord, we pray that we would, that you would help us to recognize our frailties and use us despite them, that you would strengthen us by your power. Thank you for Claudette's grandson, Chris, and that you protected him, and that you, that there's power in prayer. And Lord, thank you for each one of these examples of your providence and your protection. Lord, help us to know how big you are and how amazing you are. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So big. My dad always liked to do that with our kids, you know. He'd say, "You're going to be so big." If you look at my parents, they were here last week, you know that there was a reason for that, because he was hopeful. So I was hoping it was in the other person's genes, so they would get a little tallness out of this thing. But when we try to explain the Trinity, so many times it feels like we're trying hard to explain something, and it's like Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. I love this because he doesn't come during the day when everybody's around, right? He comes at night because he is confused. Any of us, when we've tried to explain the Trinity to people, feel confused? I mean, just think about all the examples we've used over time in the church. How many of us used H2O as an example? The three states of H2O, right? Steam, water, ice. Say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Does that really do it justice? No. How many of us have used the egg? No? You ever use a hard-boiled egg? Yeah. See, there are a few Sunday school teachers here. Yeah, I've tried this. How many of us have used the apple? Yeah, a few of us, right? How many of us have attempted to explain something that's so huge in small little bites? I love the church has always attempted this, right? They've made the Trinity symbol like we see up there, the three in one, you know. Looks really nice, doesn't it? It's our attempt, as Jesus put it, to believe the earthly things and also the heavenly things. And we try to combine them, we have difficulty because it's so big. Our God is so big that when we try to put him into little bites, it's almost embarrassing. And yet, I don't know how we can do this other than trying, as we have historically as a church and throughout our history, to try to explain things to people because we want them to be like Isaiah. Do you notice how Isaiah started in the Old Testament lesson? He was trying to explain this vision of the seraphim, you know? He said, well, it had these wings, and had these faces, and had this, and had that. And it's always an attempt to try to explain. It's like trying to put the Pacific Ocean into a cup. It's impossible. Because we serve a God who is so big that all he can get out is, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to discourage you in this because this is something that is amazing. If our God was easy enough for us to explain, then he would be no different than so many gods out there who people give their trust and who give their lives to. If he was so easy to explain, if he was so small that we could even create him in our own likeness, then would he be the God that we just worshiped? that we sang, How Great Thou Art? No, our God is so big that he can do things that don't make sense in our minds. He can heal people who have cancer. He can heal people who have all kinds of illness. He can do things. He can, you know, do things that just don't make sense. He can answer our prayers even when we don't know why we're praying this, right? Because our God is so big that he can take us who are frail and imperfect people, and he can do something great with us. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. That's amazing. That's the God we serve. He is so big that we could spend all of our life trying to describe his attributes and his amazing nature, and we'd always fall short because our language will never allow us to explain. That's why I always feel sorry for Nicodemus, right? Because Nicodemus leaves his experience with Jesus. Let's recap. He comes at night. He calls him rabbi. So he's already giving him the right to speak into his life by saying, you're the teacher. And he acknowledges that Jesus is who he is because he says, no one outside of God could do what you are doing. He said, if God wasn't with you, these things would not be happening. He's talking about the healings that are going on and the deliverance of demons and all these other things. He's saying, if God wasn't with you, these things wouldn't be happening. And so he's open, he's willing, he's what we might call a person of peace. He wants to hear this. And so then Jesus says something to us. Now, on this side of the cross, we have a better understanding because we understand baptism. But he says this, he said, no one who is not born again, and I like the term, you can actually translate that word three ways. You can translate it anew, again, or from above. It's actually an interesting word. I like it from above because I like to think about baptism as being what God does, not what we do, right? So, you know, it's just my theology. But it can be born anew, it can be born again, it can be born from above. Either way, however you translate that, he says, unless this happens to you, you cannot experience the kingdom. Kind of like he said to his disciples, unless you think of things as a little child, you'll never fully understand or appreciate what it means to trust. There's only little children that really trust. Once you get older, you get supposedly smarter, and you become less trusting. Because you know what could go wrong, right? Can you say wrong, right? But you know what could go wrong when you pray for something, so you don't trust as much. Because you think about all the things that could happen that may not happen. So, brothers and sisters, it's so funny because Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he desperately wants to be taught. And then as Jesus does, he throws him this thing that if you're not willing to see God as so big, you're just confused. So what does he say? How can a man be born again a second time? Can he go back into his mother's womb? Can you just see the sarcasm in what he's saying? Like, Jesus, what are you thinking? How can this happen? And Jesus explains to him that when you're born from above, born anew, born again, it's the Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. And he says the Spirit is like the wind. You know it's there. You can feel it, but you don't know where it's going, where it's come from. And it's amazing because what Jesus is trying to do is open his mind and open his heart to see that God is so much bigger than what his little puny way of thinking dictates. And yet how many of us, even today, even after we know this, even after we're on this side of the resurrection, we are on this side of Pentecost, how many of us still want to put God in our box? How many of us want to control what we believe about God? How many of us want to just kind of put him in this little box and keep him there because it's comfortable? That was what the prophecy today that Sarah shared was about. You know, how many of us want to keep it where it's comfortable, God, where he's, you know, it's comfortable for us? And yet our God is so big. Can we put him in a box? He's so big. Can we tell him what to do? No. Our God is so big that, you know, what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand is, you are never going to understand this. I can tell you all things about earthly things. You don't believe me. How am I going to tell you about heavenly things? Will you ever believe me? Because in order to believe things from a heavenly perspective is you've got to see God as so much bigger than where you put him in your box. And I love the fact that Jesus ends with the most important thing. The most important thing to understand from a heavenly perspective is that Jesus is the one who died. He's like the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness. When they looked at the serpent, they were healed. Well, Jesus is the one who, it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son into the world so that those who believe in him should have what? Eternal life. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. You see, the Nicodemus, obviously, because of the way this is worded, he must have thought God was interested in condemning the world, not saving the world. You know, this is not unusual, because people who are in think about the people who are out, right? How many of you have you ever experienced someone who thinks they're in and you're out? Yeah. And that, doesn't that make you just feel really bad? You feel left out. You feel alone. You feel discouraged. And that's what Nicodemus was, a ruler of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were great at this. Because what did they think? This is funny, because this still happens today, believe it or not. People think that if you're exclusive, people will want to join you. Have you ever heard that? If you're exclusive, people want to join you. And the Pharisees were great at exclusive. You had to prove yourself, and it was a huge task to become one of them. It was a huge task. And you had to go through a bunch of hoops. And yet the funny thing is, Jesus says that he did not come into the world to condemn the world, to show who's in and who's out, but he came into the world to do what? To save it. Man. I want to talk about a mind-blowing expansion of a person's perspective. See, I've grown up with this. I've heard this spoken, preached, taught my whole life. So the Trinity to me is just something I accept. Even name one of my children that. You know, the Trinity is something that I know and experience because I've lived with it the whole time. But it's one of the biggest things between us and Islamic people is the Trinity. It's the biggest thing with most of the cults is the Trinity, because they want, we had in our church in Wilkie, the first church I pastored, we had a whole family that left and joined the Jehovah's Witnesses because no one did a very good job of explaining that you can't explain the Trinity on this side of heaven. And they didn't want, and this person was unwilling to accept the mystery of the Trinity. They wanted it to be explained, and so the best way to do that was to explain it away. Say the Father is always the Father, the Son is always the Son, then he disappears and comes back and whatever, and the Holy Spirit is just a force. And yet that's not what the Bible says, right? The Spirit was there from the beginning. The Spirit is creative. The Spirit gives gifts. The Spirit leads us to Christ. The Spirit does so many things. The Trinity is all about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. Brothers and sisters, our God is so big that I don't think we'll ever do justice to try to explain him, do you? Think we'll argue people into the understanding of the Trinity? No. But can we express to people the importance of what we believe? Can we express to people by what we believe and how we act and how we, I mean, even how we pray? Do we pray knowing that our God is able to do what he promises and there is no question that he wants to do this? Do we pray knowing that our God is so big that he can do even more than we can ever imagine or think? Do we talk like we have a God who is so much bigger than we can ever imagine or think? Do we act like we have a God who is so much bigger than we can ever fathom or think? Brothers and sisters, that's the gift of the Trinity. That's what we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it's a gift. That our God is so big we can never fully explain him. Our God is so big that he can do things beyond our comprehension. Our God is so big that he's put himself in a box in the Word, because he's boxed himself into the gospel in a sense that he's made himself known through Jesus. So we can see him with, you know, we often talk about God in the flesh, the incarnation. He's shown us that, but he's so big, he can do amazing things even beyond what we know he's already promised in Scripture. He is the one, Jesus is the one who said, you will do even greater things than I have done. Let's think about that. Greater things than raising Lazarus from the dead? Greater things than feeding the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish? Greater things than Jesus did walking on the water? I mean, I just like his help fishing a little bit. You know what I mean? Our God is so big, yet we limit him by not truly believing and acting as people who serve the living God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we be like Isaiah. May we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come, the Holy One of God. He is able to do even more than he promised. I want to close with this little story that I found kind of amusing. And I could see this happening. A son came home from Sunday school and was confused about the Holy Trinity. His conversation with his father goes like this. Dad, I got a question. What is it, son? Well, today in Sunday school, we talked about God. God, maybe you should talk to your mother. Come on, Dad. Okay, son, what is your question? Well, our teacher was trying to explain the Trinity. You know, God in three persons. Son, I really think this is a mom question, don't you? Dad, all right, what is your question? Well, I guess it's just confusing. I mean, I've never met a Trinity before. Obviously, he didn't come to our house. What do you mean, son? Everyone I know is just one person, not three. I see, and this worries you? It's just confusing, Dad. I mean, who is this Trinity God supposed to be? That is a good question, son. Yeah. Well, what? Don't you have some wonderful parental insight to help me out here? Right. Well, let me think. God is like H2O. You know, ice, liquid, and steam? All H2O, but different makeups. So God is like water? Well, not exactly. Okay, let's try this. Your mother, for instance. She is a person, but she is a mother, a wife, and a daughter. So mom is God? Let's not go there, son. Let me think. How about the beauty of a flower or the smile of a baby? What? How is that like Trinity? I don't know, but when I see something like that, I know that God must have a hand in it. I would agree with you there, son. But which one? Which one what? Which one is involved in something? Which God is involved in something like that? I'm not following you here, son. Well, if God is three persons, which person makes the flowers bloom? Which person breathes new life into a baby? Now wait. Remember, we have a rule in this house. Mom answers all questions about babies. Not just babies, Dad. Everything. Which person paints the colors of the sunset? Which person listens to me when no one else will? Which one? Wow, these are good questions, son. Which one is it? And how do we know? And who decides? And do they ever argue with each other? Do they live in the same place? Can you see them all? Or just some of them? How can you tell them apart? Are they identical? Is it just three? Or could it be four or five or more? Son, the Trinity is like an apple. It has a core, the meat of the apple, and the skin. Dad, or maybe like a three-leafed clover. You don't know, do you? Or what about a triangle? I'll go ask Mom, or whoever she is. Or what about that three interlocking circles, you know? Which one is it? And how do we know? And who decides? And do they ever argue with each other? Brothers and sisters, it is really hard to explain the Trinity, isn't it? I just thought that was a very cool conversation because I'm imagining some conversations go like that. Because as much as we try, we can never fully explain the mystery. It's like the Lord's Supper. Can we ever truly explain to someone how God can be, Jesus can be at the right hand of God, yet he can do what the Bible says and be here present with us at the same time? Does that make any sense? It is the mystery. Mysterion, the sacrament. It's sacramental. It is a mystery. May we accept the mystery, because by doing so, we can experience a God who is so big. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so big. Thank you, Lord, that you are so much bigger than us and that you have great plans for us and your people. Lord, help us not to be discouraged by the fact that we will never be able to explain these heavenly things in earthly words. But Lord, help us to acknowledge that you have been faithful to give us the creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, to allow us to try to make our best effort, but even then to know that it's still a mystery. That's because you're so big, and we love how awesome and amazing you are. May we always be filled with awe, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand as we confess.